live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
If you like the Young Turks podcast, I think you'll love a lot of the podcasts on the TYT network. Old School, it's one of my favorites, one of the favorites for a lot of the listeners. Please check that out, subscribe, share it. That makes a big difference, and give it a 5-star rating. Thank you. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Uger, Anna Sparing with you guys. Did Anna comment on my tan yet? No, she hasn't. Okay.
The homeboy walks in like 2 minutes before showtime, asks me a billion questions about the show, and wants to know why I didn't ask about his tan. Jake, lovely tan you got there. How was your vacation?
Well, Anna, you know what? I really want to save it for the last half hour. That's okay. Just for members. Okay. Right, yeah. So if you want to find out how Hawaii went, and I have strong points of view even on vacations, tyt.com/trial. So you can get the last half hour. We call it a post game, as most of you know. All right, become a member and support us too. All right, so we'll do that later. Mm-hmm. I got Ro Khanna coming up as a guest later in the third hour as well. That's for everybody. And Betsy Sweet, the new Just Democratic candidate that is going to challenge Susan Collins for that main Senate seat. She's on the show today, so don't miss any of that. But Anna did say that I come in here today with a fresh mind. That's all I'm about. I'm about a fresh mind. Okay.
I can't with you right now.
Okay? She just can't. She can't. But nonetheless, we have to for another 3 hours. I'm back, baby. Yeah. All right. So now let's rip in the Republicans.
All right,
Omar. Has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Trump rally goers chanted "Send her back" as Trump viciously attacked Representative Ilhan Omar, a member of Congress who's already a target for rabid right-wingers in America. The rally in North Carolina highlighted the core of Donald Trump's re-election campaign, which is to exploit racial tensions and divisions within the United States. It was a difficult, video to watch, but I think it's important to take a look at who Trump really is. And at this point, if you support Donald Trump after all of this, take a good hard look at who you are.
Yeah, so I've got a couple points about that. I know you're surprised. So number one, I know it's really hard for the media, and we've been over this a couple times. You watch regularly, but it wasn't Trump chanting; it was the voters chanting.
Don't care.
No. I don't say that as a defense of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I say it as an indictment of the Republican voters.
Oh, absolutely.
They keep saying it like Trump is some sort of anomaly. He was picked out of 17. Different Republicans who were running, it wasn't an accident. And well over 70% of Republicans still support him. In fact, we're gonna show you in a little bit that his support among Republicans went up after he made the racist comments about the four just Democrats that he's alluding to, and Ilhan Omar, etc. And it wasn't him chanting, it was the crowd chanting. It's not like Trump was saying, "Hey, send her back." And everybody's like, "Ooh, that's uncomfortable. Don't say that. We're not gonna participate in that." No, they were like, "Yes, send her back." So look, I'm honestly tired about talking about race. But we can't get out of it. We can't get out of it because the guy says horrible things. And then the crowd's like, "Yes, send her back." And so when they do those things, we are like obligated to point out what they're doing and how un-American it is. That let's put aside race. The whole point of the country is we all come together. Remember the melting pot, etc. And we're all Americans. And it doesn't matter where we're from. In Germany back in the 1930s, it mattered deeply what your race was, and it was all about race, and it has been for almost entirely throughout history. America made a giant change when we said it will not be about race, it will not be about religion. Anybody can come here. So if you're opposed to that, and obviously the Republican voters they're just as a matter of ideology less American than the rest of us. And so you got to call it out. They call it out based on nonsense. They call it out based on race. We got to call it out based on ideology.
Just keep in mind that Donald Trump has recognized that demagoguing is a successful campaign technique, what else is he gonna run on? What has he really done? What has he really accomplished for his base? He can argue that he's improved the economy, but his base knows that the economy was improved for a very select few in the US. Those who are at the very top got that massive tax return, tax cut. Whereas the middle of America voters who supposedly, allegedly voted for him because of their economic frustrations, many of them actually saw a tax increase and cuts in certain social services that they needed. So what is he gonna run on? Of course, what he's gonna do is fearmonger and just straight up lie about progressives in the Democratic Party. Make no mistake about it, he's about to do that here, and we're going to debunk his lies about Ilhan Omar when we get back from this clip.
So Representative Omar blamed the United States for the terrorist attacks on our country. She smeared US service members involved in Black Hawk Down. In other words, she slandered the brave Americans who were trying to keep peace in Somalia. Omar minimized the September 11th attacks on our homeland, saying, some people did something. I don't think so. She pleaded for compassion for ISIS recruits attempting to join the terrorist organization. She was looking for compassion. Omar laughed that Americans speak of Al-Qaeda in a menacing tone and remarked that you don't say America with this intensity. You say Al-Qaeda makes you proud. Al-Qaeda makes you proud. You don't speak that way about America. And at a press conference just this week, when asked whether she supported Al-Qaeda, that's our enemy. That's our enemy. They are a very serious problem that we take care of, but they always seem to come along somewhere. She refused to answer. She didn't want to give an answer to that question.
Everything he said in that clip was a straight out lie. It was brazen, and I'm going to debunk. First of all, let's start with Al-Qaeda. So if Al-Qaeda is really our enemy, Donald Trump, why are you selling weapons to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, which then transfers those weapons to members of Al-Qaeda? Why are you doing that? Saudi Arabia, very supportive of Al-Qaeda. Why are we giving them weapons?
Yeah. And
and she never said she supports Al-Qaeda, ever, ever. That was a lie.
So look, Al-Qaeda is our enemy, and so is Saudi Arabia in a lot of ways. The only reason they're our ally is because of oil, but in every other way, they have American blood on their hands. They're the ones that not only 15 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. Funny enough, we didn't invade Saudi Arabia. We invaded a random country named Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11. But on top of that, they funded this Sunni insurgency in Iraq, got thousands of our troops killed. So that's a fact. But hey, Trump said, why would I be angry at the Saudis? They pay a lot of money for my condos and for my apartments. So if anyone is friendly with Al-Qaeda, it's Donald Trump. So that's just the reality, because he's in bed with, and you saw him. I mean, the Saudi monarchy has the same ideology as Al-Qaeda. They chop hands, they chop heads, and they just chopped the head off of a Washington Post columnist. And Donald Trump said, I don't care, it's about the money. So there is one person in that equation who is fairly closely tied to allies of Al-Qaeda, and it is definitely Donald Trump. Whereas Ilhan Omar says, let's cut off our ties with the Saudis. She's against Muslim fundamentalist governments like Saudi Arabia that support Al-Qaeda. So that's the reality, but he's endangering her life by getting a bunch of radical, insane, lunatic right-wingers in this country to think that she's Al-Qaeda because she wears a hijab, and Donald Trump told him. And he said, look, I can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. This is almost rhetorically shooting Ilhan Omar on Fifth Avenue and seeing if he can get away with it.
Yeah, 100%. And it is fascinating to see that Donald Trump has such strong feelings about Al-Qaeda, when earlier this week he couldn't even spell Al-Qaeda correctly in his notes before his press conference.
Of course, because he's a child.
He's a child. He doesn't care about Al-Qaeda. He doesn't care about real terrorism. I mean, He is a terrorist. He is terrorizing freshman members of Congress by putting a target on their backs every day this week. That he has attacked them every day this week. He has fear-mongered about them. And considering the fact that we've already had people arrested, Cesar Sayoc being one example, for putting out pipe bombs, sending pipe bombs to people who Donald Trump is fear-mongered about, maybe we should really reconsider the consequences for someone like Donald Trump. Maybe Pelosi, right, gave her credit this week for voting in favor of condemning him in that resolution vote. But maybe you need to go a little further, because at this point, he's literally putting Congress people in the line of danger by fear-mongering about them and straight up lying about who they are and what they've said.
When I was gonna go to the pipe bomber too. So when the guy sends pipe bombs to all of Trump's enemies, and then Trump goes, oh, okay, now let me double down and give you more specific commands on who you should target, with no hesitation at all, like, whoa, oh my God, I can't believe my words are dangerous, because somebody hears me and some of them get all riled up about the Jews and shoot up a synagogue. Some get riled up about mosques and attack Muslims and attack mosques. And that guy sent a pipe bomb to people in the press and to my political enemies. And like, that should be a cause for concern if you're the president. My God, people are taking my words in the wrong direction. I should be careful. No. Doubles down, triples down, and goes, oh, okay, good. Let me send you a new list. And remember, they're working with Al Qaeda. They're working with Al Qaeda. Is anybody ever gonna do anything about it? Make sure you go get them, right? So that's who Donald Trump is. Total, utter monster.
So I wanna point out, you know, what the polls say about Donald Trump and how his voters feel about his brazen racism, his transparent racism. Before I do so, though, I just wanted to make a point about just a short section of The Hill's reporting on this, because they mentioned something that I actually disagree with. They write, the audience's boisterous reaction was reminiscent of the lock her up chants Trump supporters used against former Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. Now, while I really disagreed with that chant, lock her up, I mean, it was disgusting and it was also incredibly ironic, since a criminal was leading chants about locking someone else up. It's different with someone like Representative Omar, because she's already a target and you already have unhinged lunatics threatening her life on a daily basis. She's a woman of color who has very little protection, right? So Hillary Clinton had Secret Service surrounding her at all times. Hillary Clinton's life was not in danger the way that her life, Representative Ilhan Omar's life, is in danger. So I hate this idea of, you know, drawing this equivalency. While both acts were disgusting and both acts were wrong, I think that the weight in which, you know, this recent story, like the weight that it carries, is more significant. It's more serious. Again, her life is actually in danger. She doesn't have the type of security or the resources for the type of security that Hillary Clinton had. So I just wanted to point that out. Maybe that's an irrelevant point, but it just stood out to me because, no, again.
No, it's not irrelevant. I'm worried about her. Everybody's, yeah. Anybody with a conscience is worried about her. People without a conscience, I don't know what they're rooting for.
Yeah, so let's go to the poll and just talk about how Donald Trump's approval rating's doing among Republicans. More than 20% of registered voters in North Carolina, by the way, I just wanna note, are black. And the state backed former President Obama back in 2008. So I don't know if this is gonna be a smart political strategy for him in the state of North Carolina, but we'll see. And then if
so
you-
So that's where the rally was being held, but right. The poll's a national one.
Yes, so the national poll was done by Reuters Ipsos. Let's go to graphic 4. Republican support for President Trump has increased 5 points in a Reuters Ipsos poll since he suggested a group of minority progressive lawmakers go back where they came from. Now, luckily, his approval has dropped when it comes to independent voters, and of course, Democratic voters as well. About 3 in 10 independent voters now say they approve of Trump, down from 4 in 10 last week.
All right, so really relevant information here in two different directions. One is the bad news, which is Republicans said, oh, you're singling out women who are all US citizens and US congressmen, and telling them to go back to where they came from, based on what? Based on race. Great, we love that. racism wasn't the bug, it was the feature. That's why we picked Trump out of 17 people, because the others were doing dog whistles and were too stupid for dog whistles. Whereas the other guy just said it, and I was like, yeah, I like that. Yeah, send back black people and Arabs to where they came from. Now, let's just note for a second that I don't have a great impression of Republican voters. That's true.
It sounded pretty accurate to me.
No, I don't mean it as in how they sound. Like, I don't have a lot of good feelings towards Republican voters this day and age, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's based on the polling. It's based on what they're saying and what they're chanting, etc. But let's note for a second the irony here. He mentioned the four women that they should all go back. Now, three of them were born in America, so if he wants AOC to go back to the Bronx, mission accomplished. She's in the Bronx and she's the congresswoman for the Bronx. So But he included all four, not just Ilhan Omar, who was born outside the country. Of course, I gotta say, because I was born outside the country and all naturalized citizens, and there's millions of us in this in America. We are no less citizens than anyone else. We are 100% American. If you don't like it, take it up with the Constitution, okay? And by the way, if you don't believe in the Constitution, you're un-American. So yep. That's that. But let's talk about Ocasio-Cortez. Her mom was born in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is part of the United States. So again, nothing to go back to. But Donald Trump's mom was not born in America. She was born in Scotland. Mm-hmm. That is a part of a different country altogether, not a US territory, not anything related to us in any way, shape or form. Nobody ever says Donald Trump should go back, right? Now, Ocasio-Cortez's father born here, Trump's father born here. But they have a little bit of a similarity, except her mother's from here, his mother is not. And he never thinks of it that way, like, I should go back to Scotland. First of all, Scotland, I'm so sorry. I know you don't want him back, and okay?
Real quick, I mean, Melania's parents just became US citizens.
And she's obviously from Slovenia herself. There's considerable controversy about their immigration and how they got here. And it appears Melania and her parents lied on their forms, but no one ever goes further with that because, hey, why? Come on, it's so obvious. You know it too. Even if you're MAGA, you know it. Well, Scotland, that's Scotland's us. No, it's not. Okay, but we're progressives, we're inclusive. I love that people came from Scotland. I love that people came from Slovenia, right? But you can't have it both ways. So the bad news is, Republicans, yes, even though you hate it and it triggers you, you are going to those stereotypes because they're in the back of your head if they're not in the front of your head, okay? So now, the good news. You know, people skate past it and they just mention in a couple of the articles, like, oh, and then the support dropped from 4 out of 10 independents to 3 out of 10 independents. What are you talking about? 30% of independents supporting you is a disaster. Trump is deeply unpopular. The only reason why he's at 41%, which is already a terrible number, but he's not in the 30s, is because Republicans are like, yes, right? But guys, 41 favorable, 55 unfavorable in that poll. If a Democrat was 41-55, I'd be like, we got to primary him because he's going to lose. He's definitely going to lose the general election. We got to go with a primary right now. But since they think he's Teflon, and they think, well, I mean, he hasn't been fired and Pelosi won't impeach him, so I guess there's never any consequences, right? And he did get elected. No, you're missing it. Independents hate him. Hate him. Mm-hmm. Democrats hate him even more. He has no support. And even among Republicans, the numbers went up. But I was surprised to see that it was only 72%. He'd been as high as the 90s. And in other polls, he's still in the 80s, but 72% among Republicans.
Yeah, so there was
a goner, man.
I hate when anyone says that because
I know we're all traumatized by 2016.
We can't get overconfident.
No, but Anna, let me just say, look, yes, we can't get overconfident and put up an establishment Democrat just like Hillary Clinton, who lost to him last time, okay? But the rest of the media uses it as, well, you better vote for Joe Biden because Trump's about to win. Trump's about to win. You better vote for Joe Biden. It's not remotely true. Every one of these guys is going to crush Trump. But the question is, what kind of Democrat do you want? What kind of president do you want? And it's like, and my job is to keep it real with you. When I thought he could win, what did I say over and over again? Brace for impact, brace for impact, right? In this case, I'm telling you, he's a weakling. America hates Donald Trump. The media is giving you a skewed perspective on this because they're making it look 50-50 by stacking cable news with wall-to-wall Trump supporters.
So one other thing I wanted to add, just looking to the future, now that we know who Republican voters are, I mean, they overwhelmingly support Donald Trump. They overwhelmingly, his racism is not the bug, it's the feature. We've been over this over and over again. So what does this mean for the future? So let's say we do elect a Democrat, but then in the future, what kind of Republican is gonna run for president, right? Knowing that this is the base, this is the Republican base, this is the kind of behavior they reward. And if you're a principled politician on the right who speaks out against this disgusting rhetoric and behavior, you get punished electorally.
Yeah, but that also spells doom for the Republican Party. I know you're gonna think I'm overly optimistic, but guys, when you lose 7 out of 10 independents, your party is in a world of trouble. Look, the Democrats picked up over 40 seats in the House. Why? Was it an accident? No, because the Republicans are in a world of trouble. So they, Anna's right, they can't win primaries unless they go towards race and making that dog whistle into a human whistle and flat out saying terrible things or supporting guys who are saying terrible things. They can't win in the primaries. So then they have to put up monsters in the general election. Look at what they did in Alabama, they put up Roy Moore. Knowing what he did, they put up Roy Moore.
It's amazing.
And they even lost in Alabama, they lost in Alabama. Because they can't help themselves, because the primary voters are that vicious. And the independents hate them. So yeah, they're in a world of trouble going into the future. Do not settle, go progressive right now, because we got them on the ropes. And they're totally on our side, especially on economic issues. And we gotta go right now and press that advantage.
We gotta take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna give you the Republican response to what Trump did yesterday. And then later in the show, we are gonna discuss what the latest is in the Jeffrey Epstein case.
And one more thing, guys, really great announcement, including about some of those Just Democrats when we come back. It's wonderful news. I want to share it with you when we return.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un-F-ing the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today, and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
All right, back on the Young Turks. We're having fun here, okay?
Are we?
I think so.
You're so like, you've been dying to come back on the show. Like,
of course.
We've been at this all week. It's been devastating. Okay. I'm tired.
No. It's time for us to devastate them.
I'm in favor of that.
In fact, I'll go to Twitter first because it's related to that. M. Yushin Chakmak, which actually his last name is perfect for this because it kind of means to spark a fire. Says, it's midnight on a work day in Switzerland, but with what's going on in the news cycle, I could not wait until morning to see Cenk's fiery return. Welcome back, brother, give him hell.
Oh, Switzerland, that sounds so nice right now.
Well, that's a good point, but check, mission accomplished, and we're just getting started. And finally, Meg says, Ilhan Omar has been a US citizen longer than Melania Trump. Good point, as always, by our members, tyt.com/trial, become a member. All right. Great news, guys. We have more people who have signed the pledge. Now over 25,000 of you have already signed. We've got a whole bunch of people running for Congress and Senate who have signed. You know, of course, the four presidential candidates who have signed, like Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Marianne Williamson, Mike Gravel, etc. But now we have new Congress people. just signed Ilhan Omar. I think I have that somewhere, don't I? So I'm going to remind you guys who don't know what the pledge is, what it is in a second, but also signing the Progressive Pledge, Rashida Tlaib. So you see it right there. The five pillars of the pledge are higher wages, including the $15 minimum wage, which the House just passed.
Yes.
Which we're going to talk about later in the show. Green New Deal, college for all, Medicare for all, and ending the private financing of elections, ending the corruption that is in Washington. Super proud to have those Justice Democrats sign the Progressive Pledge as well. In fact, Rashida Tlaib gave a fantastic quote about why she signed, and I want to read it to you guys. She said, "Signing on to TYT's Progressive Economic Pledge was an easy choice for me because it aligns so clearly with the values of the people I represent. I was elected by a broad and diverse coalition of residents of Michigan's 13th district to fight back against growing economic inequality, the continued destruction of our planet, and the corporate assault on our democracy." Man, I love these words.
Yes.
All right, she continues, "I represent the third poorest district in the nation where the damage that low wages, unaffordable education and healthcare, environmental pollution and degradation, and unaccountable representation have done to our communities has been devastating. I have a mandate to fight economic inequality, clean up our communities, fight climate change, and restore our democracy for the people. I'm so proud to be joined in these battles by the Young Turks and their huge grassroots network, community advocates, and activists working for real progressive change across the country." That's okay. You guys.
Yes.
She's proud to be part of you guys. That's awesome. I love that.
So I didn't know you were going to do this update today. And it came up, you know, in the middle of the day as I was producing the rest of the show. And I'm glad that it came up because at a time when you feel that despair creeping in again, and I talk about that a lot on the show, where you feel like sometimes it's hopeless. You fight for change and you've been fighting for change way longer, like since 2002 when you started the show. And sometimes you sit back and you ask yourself, does it even matter? Is there any progress at all? And these Justice Democrats honestly inspire me, inspire the rest of the progressives in this country and keep people going. They keep me going. Like just reading that quote, like it gave me chills, like in the best possible way.
Absolutely. And look, so we get tired of hearing stories of both Republicans and all far too often Democrats who go, well, I mean, should we really go all the way in healthcare? I mean, it's over 30 million people uninsured, but why don't we tweak it? Why don't we tweak it, right? And corruption, whoa, I don't know about that. And look, some other Democrats will say, I'm kind of for those things. There's a range of options of what I'm for. That's why we came up with a pledge to clarify. It's so refreshing to hear uncorrupted people who are now our representatives going, no, I'm gonna fight for these things. I don't just believe in them, I'm gonna fight for them. And that's what the pledge says, I'm gonna fight for all five of these things. And so, and speaking of Just Democrats, the first two people to sign the pledge ever, and here we could put up a lot of the supporters there have signed already, were Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ro Khanna. So two of the first Just Democrats ever. And then the presidential candidates came in, and then other Congress people like Jamie Raskin came in, and we're going and going and going, and again, over 25,000 people have signed. But you guys, please keep signing, because the more people that have signed, the more power progressives have, and people realize those are the voters. And I love that she's calling out Young Turks activists. You call it TYT Army, that's what we call it. But you guys made this happen, and so thank you. And let's keep it going at tyt.com/pledge. And it's a good day in America. Look, this is the beginning of a real coalition that could vote together and actually get these bills passed. And this is how we do it.
All right, let's go from an uplifting story to a not so uplifting story. Following Donald Trump's rally in North Carolina, where he fear-mongered about Representative Ilhan Omar and a chant by rally goers indicating that they want to, quote, send her back, he has now provided plausible deniability for anyone in the right wing who gets confronted with questions about Trump's racism. So what's the plausible deniability? Here's Trump pretending as if he's not a racist.
When your supporters last night were chanting, send her back, why didn't you stop them? Why didn't you ask them to stop saying that?
Well, number one, I think I did. I started speaking very quickly. It really was a loud, I disagree with it, by the way, but it was quite a chant. And I felt a little bit badly about it. But I will say this, I did, and I started speaking very quickly, but it started up rather fast, as you probably noticed.
So you'll tell your supporters never to
say
that again?
I would say that. I was not happy with it. I disagree with it. But again, I didn't say that. They did. But I disagree with it.
But they were echoing what you said in your first tweet, that they should go back.
Well, I don't think if you examine it, I don't think you'll find that. What I would suggest as to, I was not happy with it, but what I would suggest, you go there, go to North Carolina, and you ask the people, why did they say that? But that's what they said.
So of course, Trump has said that they should go back to their countries, not only in the form of a tweet where he specified countries, but also in various media appearances. We have a mashup that I want to show real quick. And then, Cenk, I want your thoughts. Take a look.
If you're not happy here, then you can leave. As far as I'm concerned, all I'm saying is, if they want to leave, they can leave, John. They can leave. Very simply, you can leave. You can leave right now. And all I'm saying that if they're not happy here, they can leave. If you're not happy, you can leave. If you're not happy here, you can leave. And that's what I say all the time. That's what I said in a tweet, which I guess some people think is controversial. A lot of people love it, by the way. A lot of people love it. They can leave. And you know what? I'm sure that there'll be many people that won't miss them. These are people that if they don't like it here, they can leave.
Again, I didn't say that. They did. Go to North Carolina and you ask the people, why did they say that? But that's what they said.
All right, I love that because it's classic Trump in two different ways. One is, I didn't say that. And then he's on video saying it about 20 times. We have the video, and it's not like we had to dig into the archives. That was a couple of days ago. Don't you remember saying it? Don't you remember the tweets that you sent that started this whole thing? Where do you think they got it in their head to chant send her back? They got it from your tweets and your comments. Anyway, he's pathological, absolutely pathological in terms of how he lies and how often he lies. Before I get to the second.
Yeah, I have to respond to that quickly. I know it grates on your nerves when anyone tries to allege that Trump has any type of strategy whatsoever. And I hear you, he's a doofus and it's hard to believe that there's anything going on in that mind of his. However, I think he knows that people can compare the tapes and see what he really said. But he's surrounded by yes men. The GOP is surrounded by or is basically filled with people who want to cite something that Trump said so they can argue that he's not racist, right? So what are they gonna do? What is the conservative media gonna do? You think they're gonna show tape of what he really said? No, they're just gonna use the tape of what you just saw, right? Which is, no, I hated it, it was very bad. I started speaking very quickly. You know, I didn't agree with it. That's what they're gonna cite, Cenk, because they know that people are in their little media bubbles, right? People either only consume conservative media or left-wing media. You get what I'm saying.
Us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so look, I hear you, but there's no strategy. He just says one thing that he thought that was advantageous on Tuesday, and he says something else on Thursday, because obviously his advisors told him, oh, the polling's disastrous. Now 7 out of 10 independents hate you. And you might lose North Carolina. Oh, which I didn't say it. They said it, which leads me to point number two. And I told you guys this from day one too. The Republican voters, you are the last suckers. So he has treated everyone in his life like suckers. Oh, come to Trump University. I'll teach you about real estate. I'll be there. No, I'll send a cardboard cutout of me, right? Oh, donate to my charity and I will use it for charity. Use it to settle my legal bills and buy portraits of myself. And for Republican voters, you just saw him do it with your own eyes. He threw you under the bus. If you were part of his rally, he said, I don't know, go ask them. They're the ones who chanted it. I was unhappy with it. They're the ones who chanted it, ask them. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's my voters' fault. It's not my fault. And And when he loses the next election, by the way, he is definitely going to say that too. And he's going to blame you guys for everything. You think he won't turn on MAGA?
By the way, if that happens, awesome.
It is. Right? He can't help himself.
I hope that day comes when he is booted out of office by voters. It'd be great if Pelosi did something about it, but okay, we have to wait till the election. But more importantly, if he does turn on them, I would love nothing more. I mean, he's done that to so many people close to him, so many.
I guarantee you that he thinks MAGA guys are losers.
Of course
he
does.
And of course he said that in private, right?
He said it publicly too.
He said it on a couple of occasions, very close things that are reported to that phraseology, right? And if he loses, he's got to have an out, and there's going to be no outs.
Yep.
Because he thinks I am rich, so even though his dad gave him everything, so I am worthy. These guys, they're just suckers to be used. Like I've used every other sucker. They're a bunch of losers. And he's too stupid and pathological not to say it at some point when he gets especially bitter.
What I think is so interesting, though, is look, I get the questions about the chant, but there's so much more emphasis on the chant as opposed to what he said during that rally. They're just the brazen lies about these congresswomen and especially Representative Ilhan Omar. So how come none of those reporters asked, all right, so you lied about Ilhan Omar's alleged support for Al-Qaeda, but seems like you support Al-Qaeda because you sell weapons to Saudi Arabia and those weapons end up in the hands of Al-Qaeda. Do you have anything to say about that? Right? How come they don't ask him those questions? Because first of all, the lies that he's telling about people and the fear mongering is what leads to the behavior we're seeing by the voters. So instead of cleaning up the blood or trying to figure out, what you can do about the blood, let's do something about the gushing wound that is Donald Trump in this case.
Yeah, I want the reporters next to go do what Trump asked them to, go to North Carolina. And I don't know how you're going to find the people at that rally, but ask random Republicans if you have to. Trump blamed you, said it was your fault for chanting send her back and that he didn't encourage you. And he tried to move on because he thought you were so wrong. How do you feel about that?
You know what? I was so wrong. He's right. He's right. Trump is right. I'm an idiot.
You know what? He could shoot me. I wouldn't be surprised. I know. He could shoot me on Fifth Avenue. I'd be okay with it. It's the probable answer.
So look, I mentioned Trump providing, plausible deniability because members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, want to be able to continue supporting him and also argue that he's not really a racist. And so one by one, you have these despicable people lined up in defense of Donald Trump. I want to start off with Lindsey Graham.
To other naturalized American citizens that a predominantly white crowd is chanting, send her back.
Here's what I think. I think the president is playing on the 1968 love it or leave it. I've said before that if you're a Somali refugee wearing a MAGA hat, he doesn't want to send you back. You probably have dinner at the White House. What does that tell me? That it's about the criticism and the critic.
Okay, so if you disagree with Trump politically and you happen to be a naturalized citizen, then he'd want to send you back.
Now let's see if we could use that same logic with a different president. If Obama said, hey, listen, if you disagree with me, I'm going to send you back. So Trump's mom is from Scotland, I'm sending him back. Okay.
Yeah, or Trump's in-laws, Trump's wife.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine if Obama was like, I'm thinking of deporting Melania.
Over the birtherism. Why not?
Yeah, and look, she disagrees with the president and she didn't put on an Obama hat. She didn't put on an Obama hat, so I want to send her back. What do you think Lindsey Graham and the Republican reaction would have been? Oh my God, Obama's being dictatorial. They want to control every part of our lives and going after poor people that are white like Melania. How dare they, and attacking their political opponents in these ways. We told you they were Marxists and they were coming with. Come on.
What Lindsey Graham did there was he blamed the victim, right? So Donald Trump has made Representative Ilhan Omar a target. And if anything happens to her, just remember that Senator Lindsey Graham blamed the victim. It's her fault for disagreeing with the president in a democracy or an alleged democracy. It's disgusting. Then you have Representative Mark Walker who said, though it was brief, I struggled. He struggled. I struggled with the send her back chant tonight referencing Representative Omar. Her history, words, and actions reveal her great disdain for both America and Israel. That should be our focus, not phrasing that's painful to our friends in the minority communities. I got news for you. All your words are painful to minority communities. Don't pretend like you have friends in minority communities.
Now, to be fair to the representative, that was actually one of the most outspoken against Donald Trump.
How depressing is that?
And he's like, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna smear Ilhan Omar like he is, even though you know what Donald Trump said about her is a billion times worse. I don't think, you know, I think most of Ilhan Omar's words have been mischaracterized anyway, and saying she's, as other now Republicans are saying, oh, she's anti-Semitic anyway, so it's what, so it's okay? No, she's not anti-Semitic. She did not say things like, oh, loyalty test. All that is garbage, okay? Mm-hmm. And here they are anyway. Let's blame the victim first, but maybe we shouldn't have been as bigoted as we were against her, but just a tweak, just a tweak.
So I want to show you one more video. This is Kevin McCarthy. I mean, you can guess what he has to say.
Why is it a problem when people chant it, but not when the president tweets it?
The president did not. The president clarified very clearly that he did not tell somebody. He talked about the love of this country.
No, he said they should.
No, he talked. He clarified inside his tweet. If you want to read the clarification of his tweet, he talked about the love of this country and said, if you don't love this country, you can leave.
You really think these lawmakers don't love their country?
I didn't say they didn't love their country. They have all the rights of their country at the same point. The president did not name the individual. He said, if you do not like this country, you can leave. I didn't get to see the rally, but I saw a clip. The president didn't join in any chant like that. And I think it's really wrong that you would even challenge this president when you look at the first lady is foreign born as well.
Yeah, the first lady is also a super attractive model who he married, and she's white. Like, let's just keep it real. Jesus Christ.
I think it's wrong that you challenge the president. It's true, Kevin McCarthy, when Obama was president,
right,
never challenged
the
president.
Never, never. You have to respect the office of the president.
That's right.
He said, just have to.
What do you need? What do you need? Affordable Care Act. Yeah, I'd be happy to do it. Kevin McCarthy, of course, now the leader of the Republicans in the House. He was number two at the time, number three for a while. And of course, he challenged Obama every day. He said outrageous things about Obama every single day. Now that it's Trump in the office, oh, you can't challenge the president like that. It's outrageous. And then his excuses were hilarious. Like, he didn't name the individuals. Yeah, he did. He specifically referenced the four Justice Democratic congresswomen, Tlaib, Omar, AOC, and Presley. He specifically talked about them. Well, he didn't say send them back. Yeah, he did. He said they should leave.
Yep.
And he's go back to their own countries where things are disastrous, etc. So he said all those things. Now, look, the thing is, the overwhelming majority of politicians have no courage. So if you weren't beholden to Trump, or you weren't beholden to the donors, etc., this is actually really easy to answer. Because remember, I was a Republican growing up. I was a liberal Republican, and that actually existed back then. It doesn't exist anymore. But what that was people who were not racist, who were not against gay people, etc., who didn't want to control your sex life or what you're going to do with your body, but who had conservative economic principles. And the answer was easy. Oh yeah, that was an outrageous thing for Trump to say, and I don't agree with him on that. I agree with him on, if he were to balance the budget, he doesn't agree to that either. But anyway, I agree with him on this, this, and this, right? But I don't agree with him on that. And you move on. But no, why is it? McCarthy saying, don't primary me, don't primary me, okay? I'm good with Trump. Trump wants to be, you know, racist, I said it. No problem, no problem, I'm good with him, I'm good. I mean, you could see it there. That's so sniveling, that's so sad. Remember, yep, most of these politicians are not leaders. They're followers.
Yes, it's all about political expediency. And more importantly, this is exactly why Representative Doug Collins lost it when Nancy Pelosi specifically referred to Donald Trump's comments as racist. Because if that's in the record and you vote against condemning Trump in that House resolution vote, well, then you're essentially saying that you subscribe to that racism, right? You don't want that in the record. Anyway, they're racist. They want to have their cake and eat it too, right? They're either racist or they're incredibly weak, and they're doing what they can to remain in office. They care about their political career more than doing what's right and taking a principled approach. This is why I have tremendous respect for Justin Amash, even though I disagree with him politically on almost every single issue. He's at least principled and he at least understands the importance of doing the right thing as opposed to looking out for himself and only himself.
And look, he's getting punished for it.
Yeah.
And so now he's not in the Republican Party anymore. He has a Republican challenger in a primary that now has a lead on him, etc. But whether he loses or wins, at least he could walk out saying, I was a man,
yep.
I had principles and I live by them. Can Kevin McCarthy and all these other sniveling Republicans do that? Lindsey Graham, remember,
oh, so
if you're
sad.
Outraged, if you're outraged that we're calling Trump racist, first of all, he's given us no outs. He's given it, like, I don't want to get back into that conversation, but he keeps saying over the top outrageous things. Okay, but remember, Lindsey Graham called him racist back in the Republican primaries. Lindsey Graham, the Republican from South Carolina, the sniveling guy you just saw.
I told him to go to hell.
Yeah.
In 2015 over his racism.
He said he's racist, he's xenophobic, he's bigoted.
Yep.
Okay, he said all those things. Now he's trying to start a war with Iran and Venezuela, so he needs Donald Trump to start the war. So he's like, that. And of course, he's got his own race in South Carolina he's worried about. Yep. So he needs to kiss Donald Trump's ass. They're pathetic. So he's like, oh, Donald, it's okay, Donald. God damn, that's so pathetic and sad.
Well, I think it goes without saying, we stand with Representative Omar and always will. She's incredibly brave and courageous considering everything that's happening right now. She continues to fight, she continues to keep her composure. I mean, she's an incredible woman. And we need to protect her. And when I say protect her, I mean against these rabid right wingers that want to do harm to her. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, someone implied that I'm racist in regard to a story we did yesterday. So we're gonna
and it was a Democrat.
It was a Democrat.
And,
yes.
And I'm telling you, man. All right, I'll save it for when we come back. But
bad, very bad.
Yeah, we're gonna say things people are not going to like in Washington.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
We return. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on the Young Turks. So let me read some comments for you guys. Actually, they're great. Servant of his noodly appendage writes in. It's 1 a.m. here in Czechia, and I was up since 5 a.m. I also have to get up at 3 hours and go to work for 2 shifts, 16 hours. Yet, I gotta watch. If this isn't dedication, I don't know what is.
I love you.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes, much love. Thank you for being with us across the world and across time zones. That is dedication. Thank you for being a member, too. TYT.com/trial, not only to get the show, but to support progressive media. There aren't a lot of us out there. Steve Goldson writes it on Twitter, "With such a disastrous week, I'm impressed that Cenk resisted posting live videos and enjoyed Hawaii." Yes and no. I did do one on Pelosi versus AOC. By the way, if you're a member or anyone actually on TYT.com, you can see my live videos on behind the scenes. Most of behind the scenes is for members, but the live videos is for everybody, okay? But I did largely resist because I was in Hanalei. Why? Find out in the post game. That's for members, tyt.com/trial. Okay, I'm not saying anything. Okay, she said it, I didn't, except I did in the beginning. Okay, and the last one is Scylla says, This is really interesting. I stopped watching TYT Live for a while because they went too far left for me. Interesting. I always kept my membership because I like that they have a platform. After last night's North Carolina rally, I'm watching TYT again because I need to see there are people that condemn racism with no filter.
Yes.
Left or not, we agree on that. Hey, there you go. Okay. Yes. No filter all around.
I want to get back to a point where various political views can be expressed through debate and real conversations. You know, like we're in this crazy state where, like, I agree with you, Cenk, and I didn't know how to articulate it because I don't want people to think that I'm minimizing the seriousness of the racial tensions in the country right now. But I'm tired of talking about it. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about policy. I want to talk about what candidates are proposing that would improve our lives and our economic future. Yeah. And it's just this president, we got to stop letting him frame the discussion. Like, that's one of the biggest issues that I'm seeing. It happened in 2016, it's happening again. He's the one who gets to decide what we talk about in the country. And we need to find a better strategy to both condemn his racism, but also pivot to solutions and strategies.
Yeah. Now, not in the context of Trump, but we're going to talk about race in the next story, unfortunately, as well as it comes to our door. Anyway, I want to say one more thing. Also, if you're going to be in Detroit or anywhere near Detroit when we're having the debate rally, please come and join us. So it's tyt.com/rally. We've done rallies in Iowa, both in Des Moines and Cedar Rapids. And that's where we got the presidential candidates to sign our pledge, progressive pledge. But also in Miami, right before the debates. This time around, we're doing it just one night. So please go to tyt.com/rally to RSVP. Make sure to get the information on where it's going to be, and we can send you info on that as well. And it is perfectly fitting that Rashida Tlaib just signed the Progressive Pledge because she's from that area. And obviously, we're going to have the rally in front of the debates so that the reporters can see it, everybody can see it. And you guys are already having a tremendous impact. Let's keep that going. So I'll see you guys at the end of June. And John Iderola will also join me at tyt.com/rallies, where you sign up for that. And of course, make sure you sign the pledge as well at tyt.com/pledge. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Yesterday, John Iderola and I covered a story involving Simone Sanders, who used to work for Bernie Sanders' campaign back in 2016 and now works for Joe Biden. Now, she had an interview on CNN with Erin Burnett that really stood out to me because Erin Burnett asked her a very legitimate question. You used to support Medicare for all, you no longer do. Now you want an expansion of the Affordable Care Act. Can you explain why? And she didn't really have an explanation. She just accused Erin Burnett of gotcha journalism. We're going to show you that clip again in just a minute. But I was shocked to find that Simone Sanders alleged, or at least implied, that we were targeting her because of the fact that she's a black woman. And our conversation had absolutely nothing to do with that. It focused solely on policy. And so she did this in the form of a tweet. She responded to the Young Turks Twitter account, which said the following: Simone Sanders, former Bernie Sanders press secretary, used to be for Medicare for All. Now, as a Biden advisor, her positions on Medicare for All have changed. Why is that, we wonder? John Iderola and Anna Kasparian discuss now on TYT Live. Now, I just want to note that when she responded to that, it was while the show was still happening and the clip had not been uploaded on YouTube yet. So I don't think that she watched the live, and I don't think she saw the, it would be impossible for her to watch the clip because it hadn't been published yet. But nonetheless, she wrote the following: literally trying to figure out why some progressive media is intent on trying to make me the boogeyman. You liked me when I worked for who you wanted, now you don't, and I wonder why. Leave me alone and focus on the task at hand. And then she followed that with, you're going to get enough of demonizing black women because you don't like the work we do. You are not the arbiters of what is necessary or appropriate. Your time may be better spent doing work, getting off the sidelines, than critiquing those of us actually working. Okay.
Okay.
So, actually, it's funny because I didn't even notice like the stuff about, you know, insulting the work we do until now, because I couldn't believe that she implied that we were attacking her based on the color of her skin. It had nothing to do with that. So, Cenk, I want to show you what she had said on CNN my analysis, and then we'll have a discussion about it.
I've got strong thoughts here, but we'll get to that in a second.
Stay calm. I don't want to demonize anyone, but at the same time, I think that using race as a cudgel is a really bad idea. Take a look.
For anyone to suggest that because I work for Vice President Biden, now I feel differently, that's just not true. I welcome a conversation.
Let me say why I played that.
Let me finish my sentence.
I didn't say it to do a gotcha. I said it because what you said then is different than what you're saying now. You're a thoughtful, smart person. You've changed your mind. And I want to give you a chance to explain to people why.
Because, Aaron, I believe in building on the enormous success of Obamacare. But the plan that is currently on the table that is being discussed by a number of folks when they talk about Medicare for All, specifically Senator Sanders' plan, does not do that.
So, you know, we responded to that by specifically comparing the two policies. And my issue was the way the conversation was framed in the first place. So take a look at the analysis. This is a short snippet. We can't show you the whole clip, but I suggest you should watch the whole clip so you know the context of the entire conversation. Take a look. Why is everyone so married to the Affordable Care Act, knowing that it had so many major flaws? So the way that I see this, and the way that you know, the establishment and the media are trying to frame this is, they want to repeal the Affordable Care Act, right? And then you're going to have nothing. You're going to have nothing as this debate goes on about Medicare for All. I mean, it's a big risk. No, that's not what's going to happen. The Affordable Care Act, as flawed as it is, especially now that the mandate has been repealed, will remain intact. But you push for Medicare for All to replace that system. I mean, you can argue that it expands that system. It's the ultimate expansion of the Affordable Care Act because it's a single payer system that covers everything. The conversation was about policy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. And so, all right. Simone has given us a lot to talk about. So number one, even in her first appearance on Aaron Burnett, I was not on the show when you guys were analyzing it, but looking at it now, she says it's a gotcha question. No, it's not. It's a simple question. You were for this policy before and you're not. Like, for example, you could do that with me. Hey, Cenk, you were for the death penalty and now you're not. Why? I got gotcha. No, that's an easy answer because the Innocence Project got dozens of people off of death row and turns out we were killing innocent people. Well, I didn't sign up for that. I'm out. You say I should have known that before. You're right. I should have known that before. That I was wrong about that. That's not that hard. You just say it, right? If you had a true change of mind for reasons that are definable, it's not remotely a gotcha question. So she doesn't like the question, and it really got under her skin when Aaron Burnett asked it, and we talked about it. Why? Because I'm not sure she did change her mind, and so. Now, if you notice, she did a reference to get off the sidelines and get off, and you would know if you were working like us, right? What does that mean? First of all, I don't know that anybody thinks we're on the sidelines. I'll get back
to that. If anything, we get criticized a lot because of the fact that we work in media and there's an advocacy arm to the company which promotes Justice Democrats. I mean, you've been doing revolution rallies, so. It's not like we sit in a comfy cushion, I mean, certainly not comfy or cushy studio, pretending as if we care about these issues. There's actually action behind these issues.
So.
And even if this was all we did, this is a taxing job. You know, it's not an easy thing to do, but it's just whatever, who cares about that? Yeah. That insult, it is what it is.
No, but I want to tell you why she said it, right? Because it makes no sense at all. Not only are we criticized for being too involved, even though we're in media, as Anna pointed out, but I helped start the Just Democrats, and the Democrats yell at us every single day for being too involved.
Yep.
Like that. So why did she say it? She said it because she's got to work for a living, right? And I get it, and I'm somewhat sympathetic to her, like in the sense that all these folks have to find a job. If you're in politics and you don't have the benefit of being in the media, such as it is, right? And if you were on TV, you make a lot of money, etc., right? But they got to go find the next job. And so she worked for Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders has different positions than Joe Biden. She had to take a job with Joe Biden. So now the thing is, that puts her in a really difficult position. And so when you ask her about it, she gets super touchy. And now you could say it's easy for people to say, hey, you shouldn't have taken the job with Joe Biden. And I can say that, and I do say that. On the other hand, like, do you never work for someone who isn't progressive? There's only two, there's a couple of progressives running for president.
I got you, Cenk.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course I see what you're saying. First off, let me just note that between these two elections, she did have a job as a contributor for cable news.
But
right?
She got that job because she works in politics.
I get
it. And it's a revolving door.
That's
She's got
fine.
To go back
That's
and be
fine.
Relevant and
yes.
then et cetera.
I right? get it. I get it. And what I'm saying though is, you know that you're going to get that question at some point. Erin Burnett is not some raging progressive. Erin Burnett is, I guarantee you, very joyful about the fact that you no longer support Medicare for All, right? So it's not like she's coming to you from like enemy territory trying to get you. So you gotta have an answer for that question. Now, am I gonna believe what she's gonna say? Like, let's say, I even gave a suggestion yesterday during that clip. I was like, look, a better way to handle that is to just remain composed and say, look, I think that it's a much more practical effort to try to expand the Affordable Care Act as opposed to a push for something that's being branded as communism by the right wing. I mean, I'm not buying that argument, but at least that's something that's going to make it seem as though, oh, she's got a legitimate argument here. Okay, great. But instead, she just decided to blame Erin Burnett for gotcha journalism. And then when we analyze the two policies and critique the way she handled it on the show, she goes after us and tries to allege or imply that it's racially motivated. You just defended a candidate who bragged about working with segregationists and helped those segregationists defeat busing. I'm the racist?
No. Look, I don't think she even means it. And if you think I'm defending her, wait, hold.
I was worried you were gonna be too harsh.
Hold, okay. So look, one more here. Look, that's why I want progressives to win. That's why I want just Democrats to win. Because I think in a different Washington, Simone Sanders works for progressives, means it, fights for wonderful legislation like Medicare for All and helps to get it passed. But Washington is so systematically corrupted that if you're gonna go work there, 90% of the jobs makes you work for people like Joe Biden, and then you gotta go out there and do things that are super hard, like say, well, maybe working with segregationists back in the day could have made sense, and maybe Medicare for All that would give healthcare to everybody is not a good idea, and that's a super tough spot to be in. And we're asking everybody to be principled, and so she's not gonna like this. She's gonna say, oh, are you saying I'm not principled?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to be as nice as I can be, right? I know you gotta take a job, but you know, the constant change in positions is not that helpful when it's guided by the job that you have as opposed to an actual change in opinion, which then now finally we get to the race part, right? So I think too many people are throwing it around and out. So I'll even criticize, you know, some of the just Democrats here. So, you know, just AOC mentioned, and I know she didn't mean it in this way, she later clarified, but that Nancy Pelosi was helping too much in people who were attacking the just Democrats who were young women of color, okay? And it came across as saying Nancy Pelosi's doing it because of race. And I don't think she meant it that way. And again, she did clarify later that she did not mean it that way.
She was specifically asked by a reporter from The Hill whether she thought Nancy Pelosi was racist. And she said unequivocally, absolutely not. What she meant was that these women of color are already the target of you know, all sorts of threats. And Nancy Pelosi's public statements about them exacerbated it.
Yeah, so now, by the way, I actually think Nancy Pelosi is not racist and is obviously not sexist, but is derisive towards them because they're young. That part I think is absolutely true, okay? Mm-hmm. And like, oh, these young people that haven't been corrupted yet. Well, okay, once you mature, you'll know you should take corporate money and serve their interests and change all of your opinions and just keep your posters down in the basement, okay? So we can have that conversation. But then the Congressional Black Caucus turns around and criticizes the just Democrats for being racist. What? 7 Justice Democrats are people of color in Congress, right? Mm-hmm. So what are they talking about? Lacey Clay's like, well, they're running against me and I'm in the Congressional Black Caucus. But the Just Democrat running against you is also black.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes no sense at all. So now the problem when Lacey Clay does it, and honestly in this case, Simone out of the blue, having nothing to do with the topic, throws that in there. And I'm trying to be fair and say it about everybody, right? You're lessening the impact when guys like Trump actually do it and do it all the time. Then people go, I'm tired of it. Look, I'm even exhausted talking about it. But we're forced to because the right wing keeps doing atrocious things over and over again.
Right.
And we've got to protect one another and we've got to make sure unarmed black men aren't shot. And then when Kaepernick protests that he's not smeared. And then when Ilhan Omar steps up and Rashida Tlaib and all of those others and protects people of color and says those kids that you got locked up, we got to make sure that they get out of those camps, etc. We got to stick together. But when everybody's throwing this stuff around, it makes the general population think, none of them mean any of it. Trump, he doesn't mean it either. Look at, it's used so often wrongly in so many different instances that it doesn't mean anything anymore. So that doesn't help anybody. If you're gonna come after us, and there's 1,000 things to come after us on, you know how much people disagree with us? Mm-hmm. So you wanna say, we're too purist. We actually want these bills passed. Instead, we should get bills passed that are a quarter loaf. How about it, Hoss? Okay, that's my framing on it. You can have a different framing on it, etc. We've had 1,000 insults. But and it's a funny kind of thing, and I'm sure Simone isn't gonna take it this way. And personally, she's a wonderful person, okay? And I know her, and she's a little bit, she's been great to me personally. So it isn't personal at all, right? I even ran into her in the Miami debate. We had a lovely conversation, etc. But and I know she's not gonna take it this way, but Simone, you're doing more damage to yourself than you are to us, because this makes no logical sense. And then people go, that's flailing, right? Mm-hmm. So don't do that. We know you gotta take a job somewhere, but you can come up with and you're really gonna hate this, but I think you're better than this. And I think you can come up with reasons for your policy positions and for supporting Joe Biden at the same time.
All right, so let's switch gears and talk a little bit about someone who's truly terrible, and that's Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul has decided to block a Senate vote on extending the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. Now, there was a huge controversial debate in the House of Representatives about whether or not this was something that they would pass. And luckily, with enough public shaming by Jon Stewart, they did the right thing and they did extend the Victims Compensation Fund. But of course, the Senate also has to vote on it. To Mitch McConnell's credit, something that I never thought I would say, he did plan on bringing this up for a vote. But then Rand Paul got involved. And according to The Hill, as with any bill, Senator Paul always believes, according to his statement, that it needs to be paid for. Senator Paul is simply offering an amendment, which other senators support, to pay for this legislation. So essentially, Paul blocked this vote. And is now arguing that the reason why he did this, the whole point, is because he's a real fiscal conservative. We're gonna debunk that notion in just a second. But first, I wanna go to Rand Paul's video on this.
It has long been my feeling that we need to address our massive debt in this country. We have a $22 trillion debt. We're adding debt at about $1 trillion a year. And therefore, any new spending that we are approaching, any new program that's going to have the longevity of 70, 80 years should be offset by cutting spending that's less valuable. We need to, at the very least, have this debate. I will be offering up an amendment if this bill should come to the floor, but until then, I will object.
One of the biggest lies is that Rand Paul is a fiscal conservative. He is not a fiscal conservative, because if he were a fiscal conservative, he would have deep issues with the fact that Donald Trump cut taxes, and it'll cost this government $2 trillion over the next 10 years. In fact, back in January of 2018, Chris Hayes asked him about that in the context of funding for DACA recipients. And let's hear what he had to say.
You just voted for a tax bill that's going to increase the deficit by $1.2 trillion. If debt's the concern, you probably would have voted the different way, right? Spending is actually the issue. I feel like people conflate those.
Well, yes and no. I would say that I voted for the tax cut, knowing that if we did nothing on spending, it would possibly increase the debt.
Almost
but I've
certainly,
been consistent.
Right?
But yeah, but I've been consistent in always voting to cut spending. And even on that bill, it was done through budget reconciliation. I introduced an amendment that said we have to contain all spending. And you
sure.
know how many votes I got? I got four votes total,
right,
myself
that,
and three Republicans.
Right,
Nobody cares about spending.
Well, that may or may not be true. And I'm inclined to think that the Republican Party doesn't actually care that much about spending.
So Chris Hayes is right about that last point. But let me just decode that for you in 1 second. Look, he says, I want to cut spending, meaning, no, I love the tax cuts. The tax cuts are awesome. But I want to cut spending that would actually negatively impact the average American's life.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying there, including 9/11 first responders, by the way.
You know, every once in a while, when you ask him, what spending would you cut? And they'll say, foreign aid. Well, okay, the biggest foreign aid recipient by an order of magnitude is Israel. You want to cut there? No. And Rand Paul tried that for a second, and they were like, how dare you? And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm going to give Israel everything they want. Okay, mm-hmm. So then he did that. So, okay, then what are you cutting? It's like, it's a minuscule, way less than 1% of the budget. The reality is, if you want to quote unquote cut spending, what you have to do is literally rob the American people. Why do I say literally? Because all your life you paid into Social Security and Medicare through the payroll tax. And when they say cut spending or cut entitlements, what they're saying is cut Social Security and cut Medicare. One of the ways to do that is to increase the age at which you could retire. So every time they do that, they cost you tens of thousands of dollars that you would have gotten if you'd retired earlier, like you'd been paying into. So he's saying, let's just take it from the American people who pay the payroll tax. Let's just rob them. Let's just take the trillions of dollars from them
right.
and give it to the rich. 83% of the tax cuts went to the top 1%.
Yep.
On average, millionaires got $61,000 a year in tax cuts every single year because of those tax cuts. So Rand Paul is monumentally full of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't care about the budget. He doesn't care about spending. And this 9/11 bill, he could have easily voted yes. He easily voted yes when it came to giving tax cuts for the rich.
Yes.
And they said 1.2 trillion there, Chris Hayes did. Later analysis showed it was 1.9 trillion. So he gave $2 trillion to the rich without a second thought. He said, well, I proposed an amendment to cut spending. Well, nobody else voted for it, so obviously then you didn't vote for the bill, right? No, I voted for it anyway. When they rejected my amendment, I was like, who cares? I served the rich, so I gave it all to the rich. Now it's time to take. And so when they cut spending, not only Social Security and Medicare, but they cut spending like this for the 9/11
First responders,
the guys who rushed in to help others during 9/11. And Rand Paul says, literally, because this is exactly what his policy indicates. You guys are not as important as the rich. Because when it came time for the rich, I was happy to blow up the budget for them. But now you got to pay for it. I'm not going to take it from the rich. I'm going to take it from you. If you were a sucker and helped other Americans during 9/11, we're going to take the money from you and give it to the rich. That's who Rand Paul is.
So gross. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do a deep dive into policy proposals. Elizabeth Warren has a great proposal when it comes to private equity firms. So we'll give you the details on that and more when we return.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.